Welcome to a brand new episode of the Z's Podcast with three friends coming together in order to siege things up. As always, I'm your cell phone hacker, Zach, and join with me is our Lord and Savior, Mountain and Ready.
Zach.
But and the one, the only.
Oh, you're talking so loud this week.
Yeah, I'm sorry. But the one, the only.
Why can't you reply? We only played all day.
Yeah, I played like, Rook, Ash, and Fuse.
And which one do you want to be?
Throw me down as Rook.
The one, the only clothing provider.
Steven.
Oh, body armor. I get it.
Yeah, he gives you clothes. You go shopping.
See, if armor. I played Siege, I'd probably play Valkyrie.
She's not unlockable at first.
Really?
Yeah. There's only 20 operators between the attackers and defenders.
What about Twitch?
Twitch is one of the original
default.
20.
Yeah.
Well, originally you could only start as recruit and then you had to buy them all. And then as the year passes came out, then they decided to give the original 20 out.
Makes sense. Because
originally I only had Ash and Rook unlocked. And then I remember logging on one day and went, oh, I have all of them? I don't remember buying all
of
them.
Yeah, and then me logging in now through the game that you gave me. Thank you very much. I found a new love in my life. There's the bundle to buy all of the year one characters, a bundle for all the year two characters, which Dokkaebi is a part of, and she's my main right now.
Is it Dokkaebi or Dokkaebi?
Dokkaebi, probably. It's Korean.
I think it's Dokkaebi.
But she's your Dokkaebi.
That's why I say that. He made that joke.
Like,
yeah. And then the year three characters are coming out slowly.
I wanted to team kill when he said that. And it's like, all right, I'm going to be Dokkaebi. More like my Dokkaebi. Like, where is he? I can just headshot him right now. I'll take the negative.
Well, there was that
points.
One game where I just went on a tear. I killed Steve by accident.
Because yeah, I was accident. All of you were just screaming.
I was flashed.
Time.
Yeah, you flashed yourself.
What was I doing during all that? Was I doing Octopath?
You were playing Octopath.
I'm trying to beat it. I'm so close. I have 3 chapter 4s left.
But if we include
Steve,
I got 10 kills that game. Like, I got a 3-man ace because there's only 3 people left. One of them was outside, and I was like,
right?
Because it's all a single-shot rifle, and I just love that character so much.
Yeah. Shot me in the face.
Yeah, my bad.
At least you had the courtesy shoot me in the face.
It's like that one game where you're staring at the person and then our teammate just walked in front of you. It's like, yeah, that was your fault for getting down.
Yeah, I was like, I see the guy and I'm like, all right, I'm going to get him. Hey, what's going on over here? Team kill. Like,
Why?
Shoot me.
Yeah, I was playing Glaz during Terrorist Hunt and an enemy walked in. Or there was an enemy in front of me. So I pull out my sniper ready to spray and our teammate's down in front of us and he gets revived right into my line of fire and just sends me WTF over Xbox chat. I'm like, yeah, dude, I'm actually like really sorry. That was totally my fault. I will admit to that. But dude, holy shit. Siege is so much fun.
I am getting into it.
Like I had to go shopping and my shopping route is I go to Target. Then I go to Sprouts and I'm like, I could probably skip Sprouts and just play Siege.
Oh, yeah. God, what have I done to you?
Yeah, you come down and you're like, yeah, I'm probably going to play a couple matches. Because I was playing, I think you...
You were playing No Man's Sky.
I was playing No Man's Sky. You went to do something. I switched to Siege. You come back and you're like, probably going to play a couple before I go shopping. Are you still going to be on? Like, yeah, sure. Like 4 matches later, like, all right, this is the last one. I need to go shopping.
Yeah.
No, you don't.
It was so much fun.
And then you come home and like, I thought about skipping Sprouts to come home and play.
Yeah, and then that led me on the downpour of, like, what are the Siege memes? And, you know, Lord T'Chanka, Mounted and Ready.
Our Lord and Savior. How do you buff a god? Spoiler alert, he is listed as the lowest tier character on...
I think every time Alfredo plays, someone's just like, pick T'Chanka.
He's the Lord.
Yeah, he's like the meme character, and I had a great kill against one.
I mean, the whole game's about being mobile and holding corners, and T'Chanka only, like...
Holds corners.
He holds a room.
And even when...
But not effectively.
And if he's off his gun, he is the slowest character.
So, there's a T'Chanka in front of the door, and he had, like, a shield guard in front of him. So I'm crouched down. He can't see me from where the shield guard is. And I just peek around the corner of it and I could shoot him in the leg. And I downed him and headshotted him. And I'm like, let's go. But holy shit, like, it's amazing. My girlfriend's here visiting. We're celebrating and all that jazz. But all I've thought about was playing Siege. And she's like, you can play Siege. I could just go read. I'm like, you don't want to be in the same room as me.
You become a different person.
Yeah, you scared her yesterday when we were playing and you got killed.
Again, I've never seen both of you be like so
So butthole clenchy.
Yeah, like, it is very like heart palpitations. Like, when, like, I even turned down my like chat headset volume just so you can hear in the game, because my god, it makes a world of difference when you can hear clunking in different areas. Like, he's to the right. You hear woodboards break. Like, oh, he's over there now. I know where he's kind of coming from.
It's like
from.
You hear the steps, and it's like, I had a beautiful kill.
It's like playing Overwatch without any voice or like any noise.
Yeah, but it's like,
oh, yeah, there's a call out of a
Siege is dead
coming.
Silent. Like, Overwatch has like music and everything else. And then it's like, you're sitting there and you're hearing the footsteps and you hear them go back and forth around you. And I'm like, okay, I got this. And you throw a C4 against the wall. You just back up and you cheer and you get a kill. And it's just like, I am your god. Fear me. It was so much fun.
We don't need any more gods.
It's upsetting when you die because, yeah, you're on that adrenaline rush. But then when you get a kill, it's so satisfying.
It does the Call of Duty thing, too, when you get a headshot. It's like, ba-dink, and it's like, ooh, that's a good noise. It's slowly training you, like a Pavlovian dog. It's just like, these are the good noises. This is what you want to do.
The fabled triple dink of McCree. Just yeah. Dink, dink, dink.
So
it's
great.
Like, oh, you just murdered that man.
Like, a part of me really is upset that you got me the game, because now you can't play it. Because we're not digital sharing, but it's just like, Zach.
Well, it's a physical disc.
Yeah, but Zach. So good.
I looked it up. It's like, god, fucking Siege is still $40
for just the base
yeah,
version.
Just for the base.
God damn.
Because they raised the price on it. Probably because they unlocked all those characters for everybody.
So you could probably get the physical disc cheaper at GameStop or something.
I barely have enough to I have a 4-day weekend, so I'm just like trying to grind out Octopath so I can be done with it and put it down.
And then there's me. I'm like, I'm going to go do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to go hiking tomorrow. Siege. Like,
trying to save money because I'm going to Europe in 2.5 weeks.
Nerd.
So when, I know you're probably not going to do a cross-stitch because you have so many kids, but when soccer comes around, are you going to start giving them Siege nicknames?
Nah.
It's like, all right, Fuse, you're going to be our striker.
Shit.
Well, Tachanka goalie.
I just thought about that. I'm going to be gone for an entire week.
It'll be fine.
But what are we going to do about this?
Oh.
Are we going to have to skip a week?
Or you're going to have to teach one of us how to do the mix board.
It's all set up. You literally hit record at this point.
Yeah, I can edit. You don't even edit anyways.
It can finally happen.
I do.
The Power Rangers podcast.
The fabled Power Rangers podcast.
Could pre-record that.
Maybe we can get Tim.
Or Jim.
Yeah.
There you go. Just we'll figure that out. We have time for that.
Yeah. Say. Yeah. Zach, what is first on our list?
Did I put the first thing on the list?
No, neither of us have the list pulled up, so.
Oh.
Yeah, my tablet went to sleep.
My phone's in my pocket.
Hit me then. Okay. So Alan Tudyk is to be cast as Doom Patrol's big bad, but no, he's not Batman's cousin anymore. And this is coming from Newsarama.
Shout out to the DC office.
Yeah, Powerless.
Yeah, so
it was a decent show. It just,
They radically changed their shift. But Alan Tudyk returns to DC as he's been cast as Doom Patrol's big bad, Mr. Nobody, according to Deadline. In comic books, Mr. Nobody is a longtime Doom Patrol adversary who was also a member of the Brotherhood of Evil and the Brotherhood of Dada. Is it Dada or Data?
Who knows?
Dada. He's gifted with the power of to drain the sanity from people, but becomes insane himself as a side effect. That's very Doom Patrol.
Yeah. He's definitely one of those characters that you just see and you just know. And he's heartless. Like,
physically
chest.
Heartless or like...
Like Kanye heartless.
Like, physically, like, there's a heart-shaped hole in his chest.
Oh, he's probably got that looked at.
Yeah.
Does he put it into his heart-shaped box?
Possibly.
Is it large enough that it takes the whole heart, or is there like a piece of like normal shaped heart just sitting in his chest somewhere?
That's a good question. But on Reddit, they've been leaking like a bunch of video or photos, and everything that they've shown about the Doom Patrol looks perfect.
You're gonna have to be more specific on a Google search for Mr. Nobody, because that's kind of a Jared Leto movie.
It is a Jared Leto movie.
Probably a porn star somehow too. Knowing how the internet works.
Well, it's probably Mr. Innerbody.
Good point. Good point.
But looking at Doom Patrol, all the pictures of the cast, like Mr. Robot looks amazing. Mr. Negative looks amazing. Or Robot Man. Sorry,
not Mr. Robot. I was going to say, is Rami Malek in this too?
Hopefully. But he looks.
Slater just shows up out of nowhere.
He looks awesome. Mr. Negative looks like he just came out of the comic. Crazy Jane. And they're driving a bus. And I'm like,
oh, but no ambulance.
It's not an ambulance. It's not Danny. Yeah. So.
Could still be Danny the Street, for all you know.
Just end of the season, he morphs into an ambulance.
That could actually be a thing, if you think about it.
It could be, but then again, anything could be a thing involving Danny.
Yeah, and sometimes Danny likes to dress up. We all know this.
So, when we watch Doom Patrol, whenever it happens, are you going to point out every brick and be like, that's Danny?
There's what? A brick, I thought about just it. A random brick off in the corner.
Just like they're running through the city, there's bricks everywhere, like, that's Danny, Danny, there, Danny, 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 Danny,
Danny. The brick thing was very new for Danny. Like, he was always in ambulance or he was the street. So.
So they could be on a street. That's Danny.
Find out where you just see Danny Street and like, that's Danny.
Well, could I be mean, a thing. Yeah, yes. Like, so. I really hope they just go full balls to the wall and make the show as weird as possible.
I mean, they need to. That's what Doom Patrol is.
Well, that's what Grant Morrison's Doom Patrol was. They was were.
There great, was there a Doom Patrol before that?
Yeah.
Yes.
A couple different iterations of it.
Pretty
too.
Much like the Teen Titans Doom Patrol.
But like
the ones I showed in the show, sure. That was kind of more along the lines of the OG Doom Patrol.
I think it was John Byrne who wrote the series before Morrison touched it.
Before Morrison, and then the acid trip that is Gerard Way touched it.
They've both done such a great job. Like, Morrison made me fall in love, and Gerard Way just writes it just like Morrison would. It's just such a fun comic. Issue 12 is finally coming out. It's only been 2 years.
Good Lord. God, that's almost as bad as Marvel releasing Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. 4 years after
Hickman
finished it.
Issue 10 came out, and then Milk Wars happened, and then issue 11 came out, which sets up Milk Wars.
That makes no fun. Oh my god. They should have just... What were they doing?
Gerard Way. Just, he's... Man. I wouldn't say necessarily bad at scripting, but he does take a while. And it's to the point that like Nick Darrington was like, yeah, I just have to accept another job just to keep myself going. And he's working with... I think Brian Michael Bendis doing Batman for the Walmart oversized issues. So yeah. Oh shit, this one's new news, possibly. Breaking news from Reddit. There is two pot Blinkle, so get your salt shakers ready. Slowly loading. Shout out to Bleeding Cool being covered in ads. This is coming from Rich Johnston, the Bleeding Cool man himself, and this is actually coming out of Toronto Fan Expo, is that DC Comics is to launch two new comic series. The first series is The Spectre, written by Peter Tomasi, and Hawk and Dove, written by Steve Orlando. What? No artists have been attached yet.
They're going to do a Hawk and Dove series with Titans coming out soon that has Hawk and Dove in it?
No way.
It's like how Marvel... Every time they have a movie come out, boom, new series involving that team or person. Just so weird.
Spectre is going to be really interesting for Peter Tomasi.
It's Spectre forever.
He hasn't been around since.
He's been like there in like random stories, but not like prominent anywhere.
Yeah, other than Gotham by Midnight, which is amazing. But
I think he showed up in Metal at some point, or like was referenced.
Yeah. Probably.
I mean, you had fucking Detective Chimp in it, so...
I just opened, like, six tabs of Bleeding Cool.
Oh, God.
It was an accident. Bleeding Cool's other big thing that they just announced via their website that I found on Reddit. Detective Comics issue 1000 will feature Jock, Scott Snyder, Tom King, Greg Capullo, and Jason Fabik, and will set up the three Jokers. This is...
So we're finally getting back to that. Great.
Yeah, so Detective Comics 1000 is coming next year for Batman's 80th anniversary, just as 1000 featured Batman's creators of old and new and future. So Detective Comics will also feature a bevy of current and past creators with an eye towards what comes next. And at Toronto Fan Expo, we got word that creators on the book will include Scott Snyder, Jock, Greg Capullo, Tom King, and Jason Fabik, who is currently working on the Black Label series, Three Jokers. And according to this article, it says that, hey, there might be little previews to Batman Who Laughs or Batman Last Night on Earth or other things that will feed into it, just kind of like how Action 1000 fed into Brian Michael Bendis' story. So pretty cool.
We are pretty close to Detective 1000.
Yeah, you would almost think that instead they would do a Detective Comics issue 1027 to be like the big anniversary.
1027.
Yeah, because it's like
it's almost like a
Action 1000 is 1,000 issues of Superman, so Detective Comics 1027 would be 1,000 issues of Batman at that point.
It was Batman Detective Comics.
Yes. Does that mean 1038 would be like a celebration of all the Robins?
Maybe they could still do it.
Yeah. I've seen a.
Do we think they're gonna like? Not relaunch, but like go back to number one after that point, because that's what they did with Action, but everyone's still referring to it as 1001.
Yeah. So apparently with with this next arc with Tom King's Batman, Bruce is pushing Nightwing away now. Like, Batman needs to be alone. He has to be edgy. He has to be dark. And so he's pushing Dick out of his life, and something happens to Dick Grayson in that story that sets up the events to Nightwing 50. Something about Dick Grayson possibly losing his memories, amnesia, and all that jazz. He beat the shit out of Jason. So he's like forcing everyone else to be outside of Gotham at this point. So everyone's like, oh, look, we get Edgelord Batman again. Please don't do that.
Bet Tom King, don't do it. Let it be a ruse.
I really hope so. I really want
Jason. Like, did that court case not teach you anything, Batman?
Yeah.
That you learned like, your lesson in that.
Yeah, so apparently Dick suffers like a head injury that's giving him vertigo. And at this point, they're shaving his head, which I'm really upset about.
But his luscious locks.
I know. Like, look at this cover. I'm going to try and zoom in. Okay. He has a Nightwing scar tattoo. Scar. And it's just like, no. Everyone's going to know he's Nightwing now.
Oh, no. It was just his secret's out in the open. Yeah.
Or it might just be a cover that they did for artistic purposes.
What? You're telling me that the covers don't always represent what's in the comic?
What do you mean? It's so weird.
You mean Miles Morales didn't join Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
You mean everyone doesn't do Brian Michael Bendis' thing?
It's ridiculous. Anyways, yeah, a lot of cool DC news. I'm pretty jazzed about all of it, especially Spectre coming back. I really want DC to do more horror stuff. Especially now
they've been trying to bring back magic.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's working very well, but...
Have you been reading Justice League Dark?
No.
10 out of 10. The horror stuff in there is pretty surreal. Unreal. For real.
Horror-real.
For real, friends.
Alrighty. Next bit is... Matt Smith is to star in Star Wars in a key role. This article is coming to us from The Guardian. So, the Crown actor, I can refer to him as the actor from The Crown. He's
doctor. Bullshit, he's the doctor.
Isn't he knighted? Or is Tennant knighted?
I don't think either of them are knighted.
I think one of them's knighted.
I don't know if Tennant can be knighted, because I think he's Scottish.
Oh yeah, he's Scottish.
So Matt Smith has been cast in a key role in the next Star Wars film, according to reports. The former Doctor Who actor has been linked to Star Wars Episode 9. The U.S. entertainment magazine Variety has reported. Details of his role are not yet known. That's it. He was in Terminator?
Yeah, well, Terminator Genesis.
Yeah, the one that wasn't that great.
It was okay.
I said not that great.
I will give it a solid okay.
Yeah, not that great is just okay.
No, not that great is good. Not good is okay. And okay is
no, I'd say like, not great is good. Not that great is below good.
So okay. Okay is just below. Or do, oh man, I'm going down a rabbit hole of rating scales that don't mean anything.
Yeah, it's interesting to see that, like, he's, I don't know if it's, he, it's not him necessarily jumping ship, but like, it's that opportunity to be in Star Wars, and I feel like anyone would jump to take that chance. I would.
Of course you would.
Yeah.
You'd be a porg if
guys,
you
guys, I would be a porg if I had the chance. All right,
we're casting for Star Wars. What we need you to do is essentially be a porg farmer. We're going to have you in the scene. It's just you holding and surrounded by probably like 100 porgs.
You, and
sir,
you need to look,
sir, are you okay? Sir, just, I think he flatlined.
I'm so happy.
Like, hold on, get the sir, did you hear what we said? When can I start?
When do I get to see the real ones? They are real, you bastards. I know they are.
It's like, he knows.
Oh, God.
Let him into the genetically engineered porg lab.
Actually, I would love to be a porg itself, just so I could be like Benedict Cumberbatch in The Hobbit. Like, just...
No, I'm more imagining...
my wings.
I'm more imagining...
You're the kaiju porg that we're talking about.
I'm more imagining a bunch of like regular-looking porgs, and you in a giant porg costume where the mouth should be is just your head.
Oh, it's like the
and it's just porgs, and then you like,
it's like that.
Did I do it right?
Panda documentary where the people are dressed up as pandas in the panda sanctuary, picking up a panda and dragging it.
Oh my god! I saw the dumbest video the other day of these complete morons who dressed up as a zebra in a fucking African savanna. And then proceeded to get chased by lions. Like, actual wild lions. It's like, of course they're going to fucking attack you. Why did you think this was anywhere close to a good idea?
Well, that's intense, because that means they perceive them as the weakest of the herd.
Mm-hmm. Luckily, they just ripped the fake zebra head they had and ran off.
That's good.
Like,
oh, fuck, we just, like, killed this thing. There's a human inside of it.
This ain't a zebra. Yeah.
It's like Ace Ventura when he came out of the robotic rhino. Yeah.
I love that scene.
It's giving birth.
Anyway, random tangent. But
yeah. Speaking of things random, Battlefield 5 has been delayed 1 month.
They are avoiding Red Dead.
That's a smart call.
Why would you not? I keep forgetting Red Dead is this month, isn't it?
It's October.
Oh, JK.
One more month.
What's this month?
Spider-Man, Shadow the Tomb Raider... Valkyria Chronicles.
Dragon Quest.
Which Dragon Quest already came out. So Dragon Quest would be August.
There's something else pretty big coming out later in the month, and I can't remember.
Me buying a season pass to Rainbow Six Siege.
Maybe. But yeah, I mean, there was an official statement from EA of their reasoning. I mean, everybody is obviously like, oh, you're just avoiding Red Dead, which, I mean, we don't blame you, because Red Dead's just going to steal the show that week and probably month. Where is the official?
I mean, did you see the CGI horse balls?
It's true. At the washer, maybe? Probably. Yeah,
probably.
Anyway, but their reasoning was they're making final adjustments to the core gameplay, which they're, well, they had a beta recently, so they're taking a lot of the feedback from there and trying to apply it, doing fine tuning. That's the official statement. The real statement's probably like, oh yeah, we probably shouldn't send this game out to die because it's a week after Call of Duty and then a week before Red Dead.
Oh, that's what I was kind of the most. Forsaken comes out on Tuesday.
Yeah, that too.
Feasting.
Yeah, it's interesting to see EA actually like play it somewhat smart, because didn't they send Titanfall out to die the
Titanfall
same week
2,
as Call of Duty?
Well, Call of Duty and Battlefield 1.
Oh, like, yeah, that was all in the same
game.
Month,
it's
right?
Just like, why? Why would you do this to your own game?
Good question.
I mean, I can't blame him for it. I'm still on the fence if I want to pick it up just for the war stories, because those were really cool in Battlefield 1.
Yeah, my game backlog is so huge, I just don't think I'm going to play anything for a while.
Yeah.
Oh, Life is Strange 2 comes out this month also.
Yeah, that one's like a $50 Season Pass Plus game.
Comes out September 27th.
Yeah.
Episode 1.
I'm going to have to wait. I want to bench
the
game.
Yeah, just wait for the whole thing to come out. Let's play better that
I'll
way.
I'll probably
anyway.
Pre-order it still and like buy the game, but I'll just wait to play it. Support the company. Go sure. Don't nod. But
Yay, Paladin.
There's just like so many games that are coming out that I'm just kind of sitting there. I'm like, ooh, I want to play this. I want to play that. But I don't have time ever in my life. But now that I found like Rainbow Six, like I'm just going to keep coming back to it just because I have like the high of a new game in my life again.
Oh, this is what it feels like.
Oh my God. It's 5v5 competitive. And it's like, it's one of those games too. I'm like, this game can't stand alone as an online only game with multiplayer. And then it's like, no, but it is.
So if you want to do anything like single player, here's some situations.
Yeah. And the situations are just like tutorials on how to play characters. It's like, hey, you're Glass.
Yeah. How to play characters and how to play game types. It's like this one, you have to go in and get the hostage and get them out. And
that's the smart way to do it.
Yeah, when you create a tutorial-based challenge system, it's like, oh, okay. And then everyone shouted all over EA for doing it with the original Battlefront. But Fortnite does it right, and then Rainbow Six does it right. So, you know, whatever, just shit on EA.
So I'm okay using, like, with the backlog of games, I'm okay using the Switch mentality we were just talking about before we started recording. With like, because Dragon Quest comes out the same day as Forsaken. I could get them both, but at the same time, like, but I want Dragon Quest on my Switch. So I'll wait until that inevitable release date comes.
Yep.
All right.
But yes.
Cyberpunk?
Yes. So I just fucking love how, like, last week I was talking about how it's like, yeah, there was the closed the demo behind closed doors. They didn't show it to the public, blah, blah, blah. They're still fine-tuning the game. And then, like, 2 days later, it's like, oh, yeah, here's the E3 demo that we decided to release. It's like, well, just be warned, it's not the finished product.
So from what I've heard, it's very close to the E3 demo. Like, a lot of
is it not
out,
the exact one?
Well, yeah, a lot of, like, Alana and Lawrence and all of them who got to play it behind closed doors, they said, like, or this is very, very close to what I played, but there's some extra things in there.
I wonder if they had, like, a different run of it.
They might have, like, they might have gone for the...
It's like, oh, let's do this.
Like, instead of talking to the government person, they just went guns blazing.
Yeah, or something like that. But it freaking looks rad for an alpha. For, like, an alpha build for that, like, one section. Which, when they said, like, oh, yeah, this is just a slice of the game, like, that's a pretty good slice of the game that you have built
like
there.
Wasn't it like an hour?
Yeah,
it was
like 48
minutes was the full length.
Yeah.
With the like narration of like, oh, here's some like things going on in the game.
Here's some things. This isn't a finished product. Right. Let's look at this. This isn't a finished product. We're going to go into here. This isn't a finished product.
T-pose to intimidate your foes.
One criticism I've seen like universally across everything is the voice acting seemed a little off.
It seemed... Like, the main character seemed very quiet.
Yeah.
Again,
and it's a finished product. Yeah, and your sidekick with a... It was, like, the very, like, hey, hombre. Like, I'm obviously...
A stereotype.
He's a stereotype.
Yeah, he's a very much a stereotype.
He's like,
can we have a dog?
From what a...
Cyberpunk dog. It's a dog like, head on top of a person's body.
Oh, God.
Arf, arf.
You know, arf. I'm sure there's going to be some...
Wait,
like
sorry,
that.
Hold on. Arf, arf.
God.
Executing... Hulk command.
And then he transforms, like his arms bend backwards, so he has the bipedal or quadrupedal. Oh my God, he turns into like the dog from Jimmy Neutron, and you get to ride him.
No, he turns into Rush from Mega Man.
Oh my God,
and becomes a jet and a spring and an armor suit.
Well, like Jet from Mega Man, he was only like a hoverboard, but then you got the dog from Jimmy Neutron, and he's a bike.
I'm sorry, that's what the fuck did you just call him?
What is his name?
I said Jet. It is Rush,
sorry,
sir.
Jet's Rush. But I mean, let's be
don't
real.
Don't you disgrace Rush
the
like
dog
that.
From Jimmy Neutron, you transform into a motorcycle. How cyberpunk can you not? Like, how much more do you want? So cyberpunk. Yeah. So 2077.
What was cyberpunk? Was Witcher. The fact that they definitely went more like 80s... action cyberpunk movie rather than like a
like Blood Dragon.
Yeah, they went more Blood Dragon than Blade Runner.
Okay.
Which from what I've seen from like developers are like, yeah, that's we want it to be more of like a fun universe.
There's actually color.
Yeah, rather than like a Blade Runner kind of really dark and dramatic.
Rather than opening up the demo with a turtle is flipped on its back in the hot sun, what do?
Yeah. I mean, from what I've seen, I'm like, I just want to live in that world. I just want to explore it. I want to be as cyberpunk as possible. I want to drive around in my freaking cyber car.
And there's boobies.
There's lots of boobs.
Like, 5-10 minutes of the demo is just boobs right in your face.
I mean, you're carrying...
You're carrying someone who's naked.
A comatose
yeah.
woman.
But it's like...
To safety.
I didn't expect that in a demo, like, that they put on YouTube, where
I'm
it's like...
okay. Yeah, this is cyberpunk. This is CD Projekt. They do not hold back from that
stuff. Well, because they showed the character creation... And the genitalia was blurred.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, they're probably just going to edit it for the...
I think that's how they intend that
yeah.
part to be.
Like they, and then it's like, yeah, it's just going to be edited for YouTube and whatever. But then, nope, naked people everywhere. Like, oh, huh, they're okay. all in comatose / dead, but...
But what about, like, do you find anyone in a suitcase? Like, all true and true cyberpunk anime?
Oh, like somebody's like... I mean,
you're like on a mission to capture like a specific material thing. It's a specific package. You open it up and there's just a naked girl inside of it.
I mean, I don't know. They didn't show that. But, I mean, they showed like a group of people that just want to become machine.
Can you get like Battle Angel Alita eyes?
I don't think so.
Full Doki Doki.
They did not confirm nor deny that.
They didn't show the depths of the character creation system. But there is a
character creation system. They said it was very, very...
What game was we? Oh, it was GTA, when we put on the anime masks all the time.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm glad you're excited.
I am very excited. I'm hoping. I'm really praying that it's like late 2019, but I'm sticking to my guns of it's going to be spring 2020. It comes out.
I really think it's going to be 2077, personally.
You know what? I'm a little
you're
upset.
You're playing
by.
It and look outside like this is nothing like 2077.
You know what I learned? So on Twitter this week, this is a completely random thought, but it still kind of ties into it. Elise and Lawrence from Funhouse were talking about rejected shirt designs. Elise wanted a Friends logo that said Funhouse. Apparently, they had a freaking Blade Runner design in the site, like the Blade Runner font. I'm just like, why the fuck was that not released? Oh, wait, probably copyright. That's probably why they got denied.
But it's parody.
But it's still copyright.
Yeah. The Friends logo is always really hard.
Yeah.
It's like the people that make the Avengers logo, but the Friends thing.
I think parody only refers to media and not merchandise.
Yeah.
But what if you sell a CD-ROM and you get a shirt free?
It's still merchandising. Okay. Because you're, even though it is a free shirt, you're putting a value on the shirt.
Have you guys seen like the newest trend of YouTube videos is people taking movies and cutting the movies into the Friends theme song? Like I recently saw one for Harry Potter. I'm like, all right, that's enough internet for today.
See,
and the other one I've been saying is, what if the Avengers film had an anime opening?
Yeah, that's the one I've seen.
I've seen a lot of like, what if this
what
was
if
an
it
anime?
Like, yeah, like Destiny 2. What if that had an anime opening? Or Avengers had an anime opening? It's like, but some people actually do really good work with it. Like cutting the clips, putting the credits over, and like,
yeah.
Like,
when they put like the Japanese credits over, yeah, it's like, you paid attention to this.
Like,
dude.
The Destiny 2 one, I was watching, I'm like, I fucking want a Destiny anime now.
See, I would love like, a Harry Potter Friends style sitcom. There's so much darkness in that series.
He did it.
Yeah, it wasn't me this
he
time.
He did it.
He lost a little bit of his soul just now doing that.
A little bit, yeah.
His Horcrux has
it's
been
okay.
destroyed.
I got part of my soul grew because I got to talk about cyberpunk.
So do we have like the 7 Horcruxes of Zach on the show? One of them being
Power Rangers.
The things that kill Zach inside Power Rangers, the Friends Club.
You see me like screeching over in the corner.
That was also not me for once. Just want to point this out there. I haven't done shit this episode.
Yet.
Haven't punched the mic. Haven't gagged. Haven't made a squelch. I'm doing really well.
For now.
I had 10 hours of sleep last night.
Oh. I was going to say, I think I woke up to go to the bathroom, and I think you had just woken up. I was like, damn it, why didn't you wake up early? I need to use the bathroom.
Yeah. It was very much like, we ate sushi last night. And I was like, oh, yeah, let's go watch Murder Room, Rooster Teeth show. Available on Rooster Teeth first. Pass the fuck out. I woke up. I'm like, yeah, I can't wait to watch the Bernie and Ashley thing. And then I look over and Blaine is there. I'm like,
How long have I been asleep?
How long has autoplay been running?
Yeah. We already talked about Rainbow Six pretty dope. Oh, really cool thing from 343, though. So someone talked to one of the devs and asked them if Halo Infinity would have a Battle Royale mode. And the 343 dev said, the only BR in our game is the Battle Rifle.
Well played, sir.
I thought that was really cool.
I was going to say, I know we talked about Halo Battle Royale a couple weeks
ago. It'd be so easy. Plus, it's already in Forge. Like, sure. People made custom game modes for it.
War mode?
War Games.
War Games was more or less Battle Royale. Well, it was the MOBA version because MOBAs were hot then.
Halo 4 still plays great. I still don't like killing Prometheans. They're a bitch. But, like, before I started playing Rainbow Six, Halo was just my jam because I just wanted really quick multiplayer things.
But, yeah.
Oh, did we tell you about the kid who was recording a YouTube video?
No.
We think he was recording a
did
YouTube
video. Did you run into Rhino Crunch?
No, we didn't run into Rhino Crunch.
Shout out to Couch Hop.
No, it was this little kid we were so playing great. With. At first,
he just kept sending us invites.
Yeah, he kept inviting us to parties. And then, like, eventually, like, he sent us each two, I think, and then just stopped. And then, I guess he closed down the party. And in Siege, if you're in game chat, even if you're in a party, you can still hear the game
chat. It's genius.
Yeah.
Partially. Oh, so the proximity chat?
No. Oh. It's just straight in-game chat.
You can hear your teammates.
If they're on your team and they're in the game chat, you can hear them while in part. Like, it becomes,
how the fuck does that work?
They just make it as part of the game audio.
So they still can't hear you in a party, but you
why
can hear them.
Why has nobody else done this?
And it's so great because it's like, I'm by myself. I'm last man standing. I'm planning a bomb. One dude comes out from a corner and our teammate goes, oh man, you better watch out. Pop him. Greatest kill ever.
It was a pretty one nice bullet, one shot, one kill.
And then the other team had a pulse and saw me through the wall and just laid into me. But
so,
anyways,
yeah,
the kid.
So eventually, he just stopped inviting us. Probably closed down the party. And we could hear him.
I muted him at this point.
Yeah, you muted him, and then Robert muted him shortly after. I didn't because my God, just listening to him was so great. Because I'm pretty sure he was recording a YouTube video.
How old was the kid?
He was a squeaker.
Oh, my God.
Like,
those are the best.
He was probably like a junior squeaker because he
sounded young. Oh, my God.
Young.
I love it when they try to make YouTube videos.
But he was talking, and I just hear him be like, yeah, if you choose castle, he can reinforce walls gooder.
Oh, my God.
And then, like, oh, I'm going to mute myself so you guys can't hear me. And I was like,
is he
making a little YouTube video. This is a rated M game, but
he was like, hey guys, you want to join a party? We can all talk to each other and strategize.
And we had Robert in the party.
Robert was just screaming at him. I'm like, Robert, he can't actually hear you.
And he was like, fuck off, shut the fuck up. He's like, Robert, he can't hear you. Doesn't mean I'm not going to scream.
He's like, I don't fucking care. I'm
like, I think that should be embroidered on a pillow for Robert. It's like, he can't hear you. I don't care. I'm going to scream anyway. Robert.
But it was really great. It's just as great as the kid that played with Steve earlier. He was like, Doc, heal me.
Doc, heal me. Doc, why aren't you healing me, Doc? Yeah, it wasn't even Doc. It was Doc. Doc. Doc, you're such a noob. Doc. Why didn't you heal me,
so
Doc?
Bad. He's going to tell his friends about that moment later, too.
Probably.
You just gave him a story.
Yeah, this Doc didn't... I wasn't Doc, but I was just...
Doc, pick me up.
Yeah. I thought you were Doc.
No.
Funny thing, there was no Doc on the team. It was
There was a Doc.
I know.
But
it
was,
would be great if it was Pinka.
But yeah, it was Doc in a firefight, and the kid was like in between Doc and where the other people were, just laying down. He's like, Doc, come pick me up. Doc, heal me. Doc. Dude, you're gonna die.
It's worse than Genji's yelling, I need healing.
And then the kid left right after that round, and then we came back and beat them another round, and then everyone left, and we run by default. So, fuck that kid.
We also, just ran into a long stream of people killing their teammates as soon as the game starts.
It's like, alright, locate the bomb, plant the diffuser. Kill, 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 kill. This person was kicked for team kills. Well, it's 5v2 now.
Yeah, no, Steve and I had that game where it was 5v2, and a guy on our team was playing Caviera and started killing everyone. And then she turns the corner to look at me, and I'm like, not today, motherfucker. And I spray her. Yeah, and then she gets kicked. I'm like, well, I got a negative 100.
I was going to say, you killed her. I'm like, you know you could have just voted to kick her, right?
But we won that game. I got 4 kills.
Worth.
It was great. Dude, this is all the podcast is going to be now. It's me talking about Siege. It's going to be so great.
Zach Siege Adventures.
Going to start playing Tachanka.
So then the two-man British cast then will just be Siege and Power Rangers.
Did you say two-man British cast?
Oh, yeah, because Zach's going to be in...
Oh.
Yeah, Jolly old England.
So he's going to be Britishing it up.
That's what we're going to call the episode. Two-man British cast, unedited.
At that point, I'll be in Ireland.
6 hours but... long.
Okay, so the Irish cast then.
Oh, my...
Laddie. Oh, shillelagh. Top of the morning to you.
Oh, my holding on.
So, two big things happened this week, Zach.
Power Rangers and Power Rangers.
Yeah, so it's the 25th anniversary. If you go to Hot Topic, they had like an entire wall full of the helmetless 25th anniversary sticker Power Rangers.
You didn't tell me also that they had Zed and Goldar.
And Rita.
I fucking want a Goldar. I love Goldar so much.
He's a baboon.
He is not. He is a monkey of some sort in golden armor.
Make my creature grow?
The Rangers.
Yeah, and they also have the White Tigers are at a Hot Topic.
Yeah, I also want that too. The White Tiger Megazord.
But anyways, so let's just start the 25th anniversary episode for Super Ninja Steel. Should have been 2 episodes.
It really should have. Like, you could tell, like, the beginning had all right pacing, and then just
JJ, what did I tell you about leaving your bike? Sorry, Dad! Never referenced again, but Tommy Oliver's son is named JJ. That's all we know.
Yep. And he leaves his bike around, but Tommy still has his black Jeep. He still lives at the...
Turtle Cove. Not Turtle Cove. No,
Bayside.
Bayside?
Bay, yes. Reef. Bayside.
Bay Reef. Is it always a bay? Or some but near some body of water?
It's near some body of water because of Sentai footage. So they created like an all new original storyline. So the Power Rangers have to go rescue legendary Rangers from Lord Draven. Not Lord Draken, Lord Draven, who goes between universes to conquer them. And TJ apparently had some throwaway. It was his only line in the entire episode.
Okay, before you go any further, does Lord Draven have a face or does he wear a helmet the whole time?
He's a costume monster.
Damn it. I'm just thinking of like the League of Legends character Draven that has this giant Fu Manchu and he's like a total bro.
Well, he has like really he's split down the middle and he has like a helmet side and then a regular face side, but he's just a monster.
Damn it. All right.
So he was brand new.
Well, here's my contribution.
Because I think they did use Sentai footage for this. And so he was just a Sentai monster that they made into the big 25th anniversary bad.
Yeah. Because at a certain point, they're like, oh, we found Lord Draven's arrows. And then the Pink Ranger ties up the Red Ranger to, like,
to the box with the arrows.
And then they, like, ninja kite their way out. And it's just like, yeah, this is the Sentai footage. I've watched a ninja. This is what happened in that episode. Because the production budget just immediately went down.
Like, I'm sorry, we have how many legendary Rangers? Trent has how many lines?
One.
And at his very end.
And his Ranger suit's not even accurate. He had a white neck piece instead of a black neck piece.
Also, he was barely color coded. He had a gray sweatshirt on and then a little white t-shirt popping up.
Yeah.
That's not color coded. No. You put all white on the outside.
It's like, yeah, there's 10 legendary Rangers and then the 6 Super Ninja Steel people. And it wasn't bad, but it's like, I really did think it was going to be 2 episodes just because of how hype everything was around it. It's like,
or at least the hour-long episode.
Yeah. Just because it's like, Legendary Rangers. And then they defeat the villain by shooting lasers at him. I'm like, great.
Well.
But Falcon Zord, motherfuckers. That was cool.
Yeah, that was an epic fucking moment. It was like, I got this. Falcon Zord.
Pretty much. It's like, he reaches into the pocket dimension, pulls the arrow out, and then kills the villain with it.
Yeah, it's like, he grows, Falcon Zord grabs it, comes shuttling down, they start playing the OG Power Rangers theme, launch the arrow into the villain, kills him. It's like, alright, a little bit of an anticlimactic death, but the Falcon Zord was awesome.
What pissed me off the most So Peter and Yoshi are both in this episode, and they're like my favorite Blue Rangers ever because they're amazing. They're
shredded.
They're my idols, and they're just really good people. They did not interact the entire episode. Peter's character, Preston, has all these lines. So I was like, yeah, this is so cool. This is great. And then Steve and I kept making the joke of like the director coming in. It's like, that's not in the script. Calm yourself.
or anytime someone was like, man, I love Fight with the Legendary Rangers. Like, that was probably Peter's line, but he couldn't handle saying it because he was too fanboying right now.
Yeah.
So he had to give it to someone else.
But Peter and Yoshi did not interact with each other at all.
They're brothers
in real life.
To be fair, no one really interacted that much outside of Wes and Tommy.
Yeah. Those are the only characters that had any lines whatsoever.
Like, those are the only people who interacted. Coda had maybe 5 lines.
Gemma talked.
Is Jason David Frank just, like, just trying to absorb as much as he can from this, like, revival of his character?
Well, I mean, he loves Power Rangers as a whole. Like, seeing him talk at DCC, he talked about how he still loves being a part of it. Like, he loves being in the legacy. He loved helping do the live action preview for Shattered Grid.
I was gonna say, but like,
genuinely,
until Shattered Grid started, like that whole thing started up, it's like I didn't hear like anything about him.
Other than he was like a jerk for a while.
Yeah,
he was a jerk, but he's become probably one of the nicest people from what I've read and even what I've seen. Like him in person interacting with people, he seems like one of the nicest people, especially when you talk to him about Power Rangers.
It's kind of his legacy.
Boo.
But yeah, like, what pissed me off the most, though, is that Coda's character is not Preston's ancestor. Because Coda's an actual literal caveman who gets frozen in time. And he, sadly, is not Preston's great-great-great-great-ancestor.
Because he's from a different universe.
Yeah, a different dimension altogether. And I'm just like, well, that's a Shattered Grid for you.
But it was funny at the very end where it's like, yeah, now we can all return to our own dimensions. Let's do it. See you guys later. 3 doors open up. Coda goes in one. Gemma goes in another. Everyone else goes into the third.
Well, I mean, like, Gemma's universe, the world of RPM, is literally post-apocalypse.
Right, but they played it up as like, yeah, we're all going to go to our own separate universes now. It's like the awkward goodbye of like, later. And then you walk in the same direction. Like,
yeah,
it's like, oh, you're going to this universe too.
Oh, you're going to that car that's parked next to my car.
Parked over there too.
I didn't know this was your universe too. I thought you were in that.
Yeah, it was a really great fanboy moment, and it continued the legacy of Tommy Oliver fighting himself in every anniversary.
And before you ask, yes, he utseat and eod
twice. We watched the episode, and I'm like, see, this isn't what I watch. He's like, what do you mean? And it's like, there's a 2-minute extended version of him fighting himself where he goes Black Dino Thunder Ranger, the one that got cut from the episode, and then he goes into Red Zeo, and then he goes into White Ranger, and then he goes into Green, and it's like, yeah, of course the Green Ranger is apparently the strongest. Oh, by the way, he has what's called the Master Morpher, so he has access to all of his Ranger forms. Doesn't get explained.
Look,
at all.
I told you before the episode it was fuck the rules, I'm Tommy Oliver.
Well, that's how you explain Shattered Grid to people. So, now jumping forward to Shattered Grid, in the previous issue, he absorbed all of the morphers, broke the universe, and turned everything into a coffee shop AU.
Wait, what?
He lives in Smallville.
He became Superman.
His father is Zordon, his mother is Rita Repulsa.
Their pet dog is Doggy Krueger.
And Kimberly works at a coffee shop.
And Jen is like part of his guard.
Did he Black Mercy this?
He Black Mercy'd it, but made his own Black Mercy, like his own fantasy, where everyone else just kind of is part of his life.
Yeah, actually, the issue, it's brutal because before he actually does all that, like, it's like, yeah, guys, we have a fighting chance, and then people die left and right.
So, like, we have a fighting chance. Next panel, Gia's dead. This person.
No, she's already dead to begin with.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It's Jack gets shot out of the air by a giant fucking dragon. Jason gets chomped on and dies. Then they're like, let's form a new Megazord. So all of Hyperforce, Mystic Force, and like 2 or 3 others form like
Hyperforce, Mystic Force, Ninja Storm,
Jungle
Fury, Dino Charge.
All form like a really badass Megazord. and then like gut Serpentera, which was really cool. Because in the show, Serpentera, the world's strongest Megazord, which is also the Midgar Serpent in the Japanese version, gets killed by a motorcycle.
He died for a toy advertisement. Because they brought him back for Forever Red. And then it's like, yeah, awesome fight. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh no, Serpentera. Quick, Cole, get on your product placement and destroy Serpentera. It's like, cool.
Yes, not, I'll get on my Honda motorcycle.
Not even the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers with all of their power could defeat Serpentera. But Cole gets on a motorcycle, flies into Serpentera's mouth, and then it blows up. God. Fucking Forever Red. Such a great special that ended with a fucking product placement.
One of the characters has to be digitally inserted because he initially refused to be in the episode.
Oh, we didn't talk about Rocky in the special. He was Rocky.
I'm Rocky, the Red Ranger. That was our joke.
Yeah, it was anytime somebody like, man, we got like,
I'm Gabumon.
It's like pretty much it was like it's like we gotta do this to get together. I'm Rocky.
It's Morphin' Time, Tyrannosaurus.
I'm Rocky.
But Shattergrid was really cool. Like other than like all everyone dying left and right, it's like, oh look, Green Ranger Tommy was alive all along inside of the Morphing Grid, and he's trying to teach everyone a lesson that you need the power of friendship. I'm like, oh, there's my Power Rangers.
There it is.
No, it was just teaching Lord Draken, because that was the only way they could defeat him. Is essentially they use the power of friendship to win.
But I just murdered everyone. But. No, friendship. He just murdered. Did you not get any of this?
Yeah, he just murdered himself. And it's like, look, you went across and killed all of the different Tommy Olivers, but you know what your greatest weakness is? You have no friends.
That's pretty much, like, he did just destroy him by, he shamed him to death. Like, it's like, you know why you suck? You ain't got no friends. Oh, dead.
Yeah. That reminds me how Soul Eater ends. It's like Maka just, like, says something to the baddie, and this is like, what? No, I can't take that!
Well, she also became a fucking living scythe, so...
Hey, that's true, but... No,
fucking MacGuffin.
Ending. Fuck that ending.
It's like, yeah, start of the final episode. Oh, because she has weapon blood in her, she's suddenly spotting scythe blades all over, like...
Excuse me?
Stop.
That was before the manga finished, right? Because yeah, I remember them fighting on the moon in the manga.
Yeah, they had the same problem as...
Fighting on the moon, they went to the... Book of Abon, and everyone got gender swapped for an arc.
But yeah, Shattergrave was cool. And it's like, so they end, and they're like, yes, you now have the stone. It's like, but here's the
heart
of
a master.
You have to erase everything that happened to reset the universe. Like, and I'm like, God damn it.
Said, like, you have to.
Now
like,
there's no repercussions.
It's like the only way you there can. Are. The only way you can save the universes that are now essentially wiped out because Draken destroyed every universe and made his own. It's like, you essentially have to go back to the beginning before even the Black Dragon showed up. It's like, you won't remember anything.
Oh, that old gotcha.
That old nugget to get us back to
but
canon
it's
with
so
the TV
great
show.
Because it's like Jason... fell in love with Lauren from the Samurai universe.
And they even admit it, too.
And they're like, there's something I need to tell you. Whatever you're thinking, I think it, too. And then he dies.
Yeah,
and
it's like what you were saying before, I feel the same way. Serpentera crunch. And I'm like, son of a bitch!
Why?
It's like, I didn't know I wanted this ship to sail, and you finally give some wind to it, and then destroy it? No.
Gotta put the toys back in the toy box.
Meanwhile, Marguerite Bennett's like, no, I want this toy and this one. Put these. Them here. These are mine now.
Yeah, so the next issue that's coming out is like essentially the fallout of everything. So while Kyle Higgins' team is going off on this adventure fighting Draken, Promethea, also known as Terra Venture, is rescuing all the Rangers, and they escape the Draken wave. So they're fine.
Yeah, it's like as the Draken wave was coming, they essentially warp teleported. So that's why they're... this team is because these are the people who were on Terra Venture and teleported and then come back when the universes get reformed, but they're like, they still remember everything.
And the final like two pages is like, my name is Grace Kelly and I never want to see a Power
Grace
Ranger
Kelly.
Die again.
Grace Kelly.
And it's just like, oh cool. It's
rock that
like
ponytail. Star work
Trek-y.
That up too.
It's like very Star Trek. It's like, we're going to parts unknown, but I never want to see a Power Ranger die again. Because I was the former Red Ranger of my team and everyone died.
It's like, I was a Red Ranger and all my team died on the moon. I never want to see another Ranger die again. Like,
dang. I.e. someone is going to die again in front of them.
Grace, probably her.
Grace is going
to
die.
Yeah. So Marguerite Bennett takes over in this next issue. There are rumors that the Boom series is going to end, and then Power Rangers is going to start back up at IDW just because of the Hasbro license. But if they keep the quality, I mean,
please don't fuck it up. Like, just take the writers and artists and everything and just move them over. Don't fuck with it. It's not broken.
Yeah. So essentially some people are going to be like, okay, well, Go-Go used to be a prequel, so maybe that's going to be its own universe now after the Drakening. Power Rangers is going to be the Promethea Shattered Grid team with, like, all those people. And then the new Power Rangers comic will eventually just be like, here's your show counterparts. I'm like, oh, I don't want that.
That's boring.
Yeah.
But thank God that I did read Go-Go along with the main series. Because if they just drop the bombshell in the special play, Tommy's alive. He got shot with an arrow by the Ranger Slayer. I'm sorry, what? What happened to Go-Go?
Wait, hold on. Where did an arrow come into play here?
Well, she used a fragment of the green Chaos Crystal, Zach. Duh.
Chaos Emeralds?
No, Chaos Crystal. Completely different thing. God.
But when does Sonic come in?
When Knuckles arrives. He's the Purple Ranger.
He'll come when they get way past cool.
They were too slow. That was the secret.
Dude, Sonic the Hedgehog movie. God, it's happening.
I can't believe that's the whole thing.
I want it to be like an actual hedgehog. Like, not a 3D anthropomorphic
hedgehog that bipedal. Just talks.
Yeah, talking hedgehog. I just want an actual hedgehog that they CG blue.
Just try to run.
And then, sure, give him the Sonic voice. You're too slow. But actual hedgehog. I will go.
Do it, you cowards.
I will pay good money just to fucking see that.
Wait, dude, is it live action?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I think Bradley Cooper's in it.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's going to be. Or was it a... Was either... I can't remember who it was. Some
Not
big
Ryan
name.
Reynolds.
Ryan Gosling, maybe?
Please, God, if it is Ryan Gosling, double down on the real hedgehog.
Corn
and
dogs.
Get a real...
No, it's chili dogs.
Chili dogs.
Get a real
even
fox.
Even more disgusting.
CG two tails on it. Give me an echidna, a real echidna. Like,
just to clear up, like, this is a hedgehog. This is an echidna. They're
Steve
different
once,
here.
Like, what was that one hamster movie? G-Force?
Yeah. Give me that.
That's what guinea pigs you mean?
But no, not even CG the animal. CG the color on it, but live action, like a real hedgehog that you can have as a
So
pet.
You want, like, Air Bud.
Air
Pretty
Bud,
much,
Homeward
yes.
Bound, that style.
Yes, that style. But, you know, CG the hedgehog blue, CG the echidna red.
Do it, you cowards. You
make,
won't.
Get an orange fox, put a second
Yeah, they won't. They realize they won't. It's like
I think that's my new favorite thing is just like, do it, you cowards. You won't. It's like, yeah, no, I'm not going to.
Do it, you cowards. Release it today. You won't.
Yeah. Do you know how many times I would go see that movie if that's it? Even if it was the worst scripted movie on the face of the fucking planet, if they just did real life.
Hey, it worked for the room.
Hedgehog, foxes, and echidnas. I would pay good money to see
it's
that.
The G-Force. Like, that's all I'm imagining. Like, instead of the speedball that Sonic is when he crashes down and goes, it's literally
hamster
the
ball.
Hamster ball.
It's a hamster ball.
Oh,
God.
Yes. It's even better as the leading man.
Danny DeVito.
James Marsden.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
He is going to star
the
in the
one and only Cyclops.
He is going to star in the live-action Sonic the Hedgehog movie.
Is he going to play Chris from Sonic X?
Who Growing fucking Chris. Is?
Sonic X was like my favorite iteration of Sonic.
Because it was an anime first, and then four kids got their hands on it. Like, in the OG anime version of it, people fucking died. And then four kids happened. Just
Yay,
like they happened. Just like they happened to One Piece.
And Yu-Gi-Oh.
And Shaman Gosh. King.
It's still not me.
I moved the cable a little bit forward, so I don't do that.
You just
what do I fucking
mic.
Do?
I fucking drop the mic. Well, if I just unplug my mic, just rip out the XLR.
Please no. That's going to make a horrendous screeching noise in my ears. Yeah, but amplify that by like 15, and oh my god, I fucked my mics up.
I was this close to making the sound again.
Well, let me see if I can multiply my voice by 15.
We need Kayla down here to make her, the screeching noises for us.
Yeah. But anyways, Power Rangers are great. Sad to see Kyle Higgins go, but he's working on the graphic novel with JDF. And we get to see who is JJ's mother.
It's Kat.
JJ!
It's going to be Kat, because when they're walking through the portal, Tommy and Kat were holding hands.
Apparently, in the... was Wild Force the 15th anniversary?
Forever Red.
Forever Red.
Wild Force, yeah.
Better Off Dead. Yeah.
So, in that one, in the original script, Kat and Kimberly were going to pick Tommy up. And it's just like, that's a... Huh. So you advised TJ the Blue Space Ranger. He was Red Turbo in the last anniversary.
Because
no one wants to... And Kat was Turbo. Why was she like any of the other three Rangers? And why did Tommy not give anyone else a Master Morpher?
Because you think about it, none of the other Rangers overlapped. Actually, no, Rocky did. I was going to say, none of them overlapped with what Tommy morphed into. Why wasn't TJ Red Turbo then? I more associate that.
The Turbo powers were never destroyed. And yeah, no one wants to recognize Turbo.
No, Turbo was destroyed.
But Justin was still... Oh, well, he had, like, blue lightning was or whatever Turbo, the fuck.
I thought Samurai was the only bad one.
No.
Turbo was a parody.
Oh.
Yeah, the Sentai Turbo was a parody. Kart Ranger.
Wow.
That they turned into an actual series that almost got Power Rangers canceled as a whole, but then In Space saved it. And they had a chain of decent ones until Operation Overdrive, which is absolute fucking garbage.
You know, one dude on Reddit was like, I will admit Operation Overdrive was good, and like people kind of shit on him.
Because it's terrible.
Like the all entire of the Power Rangers community on Reddit like, no, is shitty on this one.
Every Sorry, last one of the characters is unlikable. They never become likable.
But Mac turns into a real boy. Is the character's name Mac?
Yes.
Oh, shit.
How do you do this?
I don't know. I just knew he was a robot.
And then Samurai happened, which was not great.
It wasn't and Samurai terrible. Was almost 1-1.
Okay, but it wasn't Samurai just a giant fuck you, so they didn't try.
Well, yeah, the Sentai was originally a giant fuck you. Because Toei told the Sentai creators, make something a little more international, less Japanese. So they said, cool, you got it.
Japanese.
The Shiba family.
And then they
all
and
Weiss.
Then they made the Shiba family, and then...
But Lauren is the one good takeaway.
Yeah. And then the other Rangers aren't part of the Shiba clan, but they're trained samurai, and they summon them by shooting essentially interdimensional arrows. Like, he pulls out arrows with the Shiba clan signal on them, shoots them into the air, they teleport. One guy's inside at a pool meet, right into the... next to the pool, and like... And then his dad even looks at him like, it is time. And then Megaforce was just garbage. Super Megaforce was hot
but
garbage. But Gia was the only good takeaway because Gia's fucking awesome.
And she's actually like a hardcore Power Rangers nerd too. Like that's okay. All her Instagram
to the point
is.
Where she made a fan film with one of the people from Dino Charge on okay. YouTube.
Respect.
Yeah. But I still will admit like the last three generations of Power Rangers have had the most stupidly attractive people in the world.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Even this next season I'm like... Damn, all y'all.
Stop.
Indonesian Blue Ranger. Yes. Red Ranger, who's a choreographer who met the Yellow Ranger back at dance camp. Yes. Watching them on Instagram is crazy. Anyways.
So the Nickelodeon money attracts the attractive people.
Certainly helps.
So, Rose MacGyver.
Yeah.
That was
so
Disney.
We have another submission. From the lovely Tim Tusky. I almost gave it away.
The secret.
I know.
No, it's not even giving it away. They're two different people. Come on.
That's right. Yeah.
It's like Johnny Ace and
Nick
Scarpino.
He has a story.
But, I mean, have you seen them in the same room together?
He has a mini story for us this week, which if you also want to give us your thoughts, questions, and comments, you can do that at z2podcast.com/comment.
There once was a man from Nantucket.
No, not that story.
Whose dick was so long he could suck it.
No, that's somewhere I would go with that one.
Yeah, but... did you never realize that that's why they always stopped the story short in cartoons? Because the next line was talking about sucking dick.
I don't know if that's actually true.
Well, it's like how all of the cartoons, like, Thrones is a Man from Nantucket, and then they always cut it off right there.
I could have sworn I've heard... At least the full thing
was. Are you going to look up there once was a man from Nantucket?
Well, anyway, he writes in and says, "This is the ghost of him, Tusky, writing to you happy boys from the endless void since apparently I died and Zach finally noticed me with his sixth sense. I didn't know he died. When did he die? I do not recall this. I'm sad that there aren't a lot of people writing in. I've been managing to write even in death. On behalf of everyone floating in this twisting nether, I implore all living listeners to please write into the show. You heard it here. Do follow him, Tusky's last wish beyond the from the void.
Do it."
And then his question is a fun one. If you could live in the Avatar universe, which element would you bend? I'd pick water. The blood blending is creepy and cool, but being able to heal people would be awesome. I'm so glad you mentioned the blood bending because, yeah, that was like the whole, what the fuck? These people can do that too?
You know, the taboo of water bending.
It's like, and oh, Katara yeah, by all the way. Like,
fuck this shit, when she got really pissed off and started bloodbending people.
And yeah, she realized, that she realized, no, that's no, fucked up.
I'm going to learn how to control this so I don't have to use it.
And then Amon in a Legend of Korra was a bloodbender.
Yeah.
Bloodbender.
Never got past the first season.
Oh, so good. Season 2 is not great. Season 3 is probably the best. Season 4 is solid.
I saw the Avatar 1 episodes. And that was it.
That was Season 3, right?
Spirit World.
So that was 4? Season 2.
That was, yeah, Season 2. That was the best part of Season 2. Everything else in Season 2 is just like, what?
There were some decent
There were some
parts,
okay moments, but most of it was like...
As a whole, the season wasn't
speaking
great.
Of Expanded Universe, so not only is there the comics that take place after Book 4 of Fire,
yeah.
There's also Legend of Korra books that Book take 3. Place after of them in the spirit
they
world.
They just started it, I think?
Yeah, and then there's also...
Well, the Korra ones when recently, they come back from the spirit
a world. A new book coming out about Avatar Kyoshi.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's just what element would you bet? I've actually thought about this. I'm like, what would I bet? I probably would honestly pick water just because I like the idea of, I mean, water's one of the most abundant.
I mean, the nerd in me would be like firebending because fire's awesome, but I'd probably go earthbending. Just control of the earth itself is.
Does airbenders have any secondary things? Because like fire has lightning, water has like ice,
earth, or
blood.
I don't know.
Swamp bending.
Yeah,
let us not forget the swamp benders.
Yeah. Water has swamp, blood, ice, water, and thanks to Korra, spirit bending.
Yeah, that's true. It did originate from that. Well, I mean, it kind of makes sense from like the healing
water
aspect.
Water is life.
Yeah. I don't remember if they ever.
Earth
gave...
has the metal bending and like magma.
Magma bending. I don't know if they ever gave airbenders.
I don't know.
Second, just because Aang was the last one,
and then
the
Tenzin.
Temple came from their from Aang's teachings.
Yeah, Tenzin really didn't have time to come up with a whole new version of airbending.
So if Aang didn't come
up
with a new
fuck
version,
not?
He had a fucking family. He was trying to raise and rebuild an entire generation or an entire temple for future generations. The man was a little swamped, not in the swamp bending way.
Clicking up airbending.
Yeah, I mean the bloodbending is like really just like, oh, that's so messed up, but it makes sense.
I feel like the bloodbenders are more like the Sith of the waterbenders.
Dun, 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 dun.
I don't know, it just
side note, didn't realize Duel of the Fates, their chanting is a Sanskrit version of a Welsh poem.
Huh. That's okay.
Because I looked at it, I was like, what are they saying? It's like, oh, it's Sanskrit. Anything on extra powers of airbenders?
Any like lore? There has to be something.
Apparently,
right?
The Avatar can spirit bend. That's
that was already confirmed
because the Avatar has a connection to the spirit realm through
all the past Avatars.
No, through the MacGuffin spirit,
the turtle,
no,
giant lion turtle,
the sperm creature. That had the dark sperm creature.
Oh, fuck. What
yeah,
was
I don't
name?
I don't remember her name.
Natu or something. Something with an N.
Avatar spirit.
I remember what you were talking about. That was like that was part of Avatar 1's story, and you're just like,
It's essentially where the connection through the past avatar, Rava.
Rava, that's what
it Rava was an ancient spirit being.
It was Rava and who was the other one?
Rava and
Rama. There were two of them.
Atu?
Vatu? I think it was Vatu.
Vatu, maybe. But see, Zach, look.
You're not
look. Sperm creature.
Ah,
okay. Spirit sperm
okay,
creature.
Okay, seriously, like, Korra does have good moments. Like, just get a quick recap of season two and then watch season three and four. Like, it's a total of, like, maybe 20 episodes. It's really short.
It was Vatu. Rava and Vatu.
But season three was probably, like, the...
Oh, yeah.
Probably the best in that entire show just because it was just like, here's some actual fucking consequences and you're going to have to deal with it.
Yeah. Like, all of season three and then the beginning of season four are the best parts of Korra. Just
season four kind of teetered out near the end, yeah. But it's still had its solid
like the beginning of season four, seeing the consequences from the fallout from season three was just so great. But yeah, I'd probably go earthbending.
Can I be an asshole and just say energy bending because that's its own thing?
It kind of goes with fire bending.
Well, no, energy bending comes from the bender's spirit, and it's learned from the lion's hurdle. Aang, or Aang.
No,
Aang.
No.
It's learned never shit out
of from here. The last living lion's hurdle, and Korra learned from Aang.
Right, so it's essentially a power like spirit bending. And
she did kind of give like
a and bunch it predates of the four learned. Major bending arts. See, now I'm just looking at all the different ones just to be like, what subclasses do you have?
It is essentially like picking a class in an RPG.
Like earthbending, you get metal. I was gonna say like magma. Earthbending
like the tank, waterbending the sand bending.
Say like the metal bending police in Korra were fucking awesome. Where it's like jumping down from blimps and then iron whips coming out of their arms at their control.
Yeah.
And then Spider-Man. Straight up magma bending. I was like, wait, wouldn't that also be firebending? I was like, wait, no.
Because
its base element is earth. It's just hot earth.
Lava bending.
Yeah.
My apologies.
Yep. I mean, firebending has lightning.
And that's it.
Yeah, it's fire and lightning.
And combustion.
Combustion.
Yeah, combustion, man.
Oh, God, yeah. In season three.
Oh, combustion
the most
woman.
Brutal fucking
death. Oh, she's the one who gets her head blown up.
Yeah, she blows her own fucking head off because, who is it? Is it?
Toph's daughter.
Yeah, one of Toph's granddaughter.
No, Lynn's sister.
Is it her daughter? Opal? It's Danner. No, it's Opal. Her daughter it's her or granddaughter.
No, it was her daughter. Well,
it's
yeah, daughter because it was Lynn's sister. She had the armor on,
right?
And then metal, she just like freaking shot the metal off. Onto,
metal bent a helmet onto her as the shot is firing.
Like, took the armor, shot it, bent it around her head, and then imploded her face. Essentially,
it was just like, oh fuck, you just. She's dead.
Yeah.
She's just straight dead.
Yeah, and they even like, it's not even like a, nah, she's fine. It's
like,
oh fuck. God.
We're all dead.
Yeah, that was when I was like halfway through that season that Nickelodeon just went to streaming it.
Yeah.
So that was when they were like, all right, all the fucking breaks are off. We're doing the story we want to do now. And honestly, it probably helped it. Because they wanted to make it dark.
Su Yin.
Yes. That's the one who straight up murdered her.
Yeah.
She has five children.
Yep. Opal is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just really have a hard time with all this. And it's just like, fire is really cool because the Edgelord, you get to ride dragons.
Zuko.
Zuko.
Shout out to best character.
Shout out to you, Dante Basco.
But and like even more important than Zuko, third time.
Wow, I'm having a...
Like Iroh, like
Iroh,
Zuko's grandson.
Well, no, just being Iroh, like Uncle Iroh.
Well, see, you have to be specific now because there are two Iroh's.
Is there really?
There's Uncle Iroh, and then there's I believe Zuko's grandson Iroh.
No, it's just his son.
Is it a son?
It's just a son.
He's also voiced by Dante Basco.
He's the firebending. Yes, right? He's the Fire Nation general.
Right, but he seemed too young to be old man Zuko's son.
No. Can I bend my spine? Like just
no,
be
like
Ty
Lee. Same, he's like the same age as Tenzin. He's not that old. He's like maybe late 30s, early 40s.
Spine bending. Ty Lee, chi power.
Oh god.
That's not even bending though. That's
she can bend her back. She can bend it like back.
She's just a fucking contortionist.
Yeah, contortionist.
Love that band.
Who knows pressure points?
Yeah. See, I honestly believe I would have almost just as much fun if I were just a normal person.
Just a person.
Like, I want to be like Mai, just like pull knives out of everywhere.
Sink, sink, sink.
I would even wear the skirt covered in knives and just be like,
I wouldn't look out of place.
Spin me.
Oh, God.
And then a rain of knives.
Beyblade or something.
Yeah. Be great. If I had to pick like an element and not energy bending, just because I'm not going to be that asshole. You said earth. You said water.
There is air. You could be peace at peace.
I feel like of the three of us, I'm probably.
I would put you in fire. Is just chaos.
Yeah, it's like I'm either chaotic or I can probably be like relatively calm and like love living a peaceful monk lifestyle. And ride a fucking scooter. It'd be so cool. And you could fly. Like, eventually you just learn to fly.
Just control the air around you.
You don't need the stupid broomstaff.
I think they had wingsuits.
Iroh is Zuko's grandson.
Oh, okay.
And the son of Fire Lord Izumi, who is Zuko's daughter.
Okay. Isn't Zuko, the original Zuko's still alive, though?
Yeah.
And Korra.
He's just...
He's an old man.
Yeah, he's... Okay. Ancient old man. Yeah, he's essentially old. Essentially,
he's
like,
the last one alive out of all of them.
Toph is alive.
Oh, that's right. Toph and Zuko.
I only know that because I saw it on Reddit.
That's right. Toph and Zuko were alive. It's been a while since I watched that series.
Never finished it.
Again, you should just get a quick TLDR of what happened in season two, and season three and four.
I'll break down season two for you. Spirits, spirit sperm. Dark spirit sperm. They fight. Both die. Korra loses her connection to all previous avatars.
But
I saw that season.
In the fallout of that, a bunch of people have bending.
That gets revealed in season three.
It's like the end of season two. They like this is what happened.
Bumi shows he has airbending.
Yeah.
And then that's pretty much where the season ends. And season three picks up there after... Avatar Spirit Sperm dies, and Korra has no connection to the Avatars.
I think I have seen that season.
Yeah.
Okay.
Essentially, like, that was, like, the big shocker. Is like, oh, so she's literally, like, the last Avatar in this ascent. Like, I think, did they undo that at the end?
No, it wasn't the fact that she was the last Avatar. It's that
because she broke the connection, it can't pass on anymore.
Right, yeah, it couldn't, the Spirit Sperm couldn't pass. I'm going to keep calling her spirit sperm.
It's not wrong. Anyway.
I really appreciate the one avatar that looked like a Jafar. Yeah. In one flashback.
Everybody mentions the Jafar one. It's interesting they're doing a Kyoshi one. But at the same time, she seems like she'd be an interesting character just because the way...
The Kyoshi warrior.
She was the one that was most fleshed out that wasn't Roku.
Yeah. Right, because she was like, oh yeah, when the guy came to, this general came to my island, I literally broke it off from the continent.
Plus, think about how badass she is. She just, like, killed people left and right.
Yeah, she just like, no, fuck you.
Yeah,
I feel like Korra was, like, the next Kyoshi with just her first line being, I am the Avatar, deal with it.
Yeah, okay, so the book... is called The Rise of Kyoshi. It's the first of two novels, a duology, if you will, that will follow her life, including the creation of the Kyoshi Warriors and the Dai Li. F.C. Lee, who worked on The Legend of Korra, is teaming up with series co-creator Michael Dante DiMartino to write the book, and everyone should be excited about it, according to Geek Tyrant. These books will be considered canon and are expected to release in July of 2019.
Nice.
I mean, that is the nice thing of doing something in the past that...
Yeah,
a past that's not really super fleshed out.
That's what's
you have a playground.
Yeah, that's what's cool about the Avatar universe that they created is we got glimpses of what happened before Last Airbender, and it's like they built up this really cool fleshed out world with like here's the rules of the world, here's like the mechanics for the most part. It's like let's go into that. Let's explore this past.
And it was also nice in Korra how they showed. Like, here's what happened in, like, the adult years of the Avatar gang.
That too.
Like,
I mean, that was, like, one of those, like, fan fiction-y type of things. Yeah. It's like, oh, what's going to happen afterwards
now? It's like, now that they've made New Republic City, like, here's what Aang did as the Avatar and the savior, essentially.
Also, here's some of his fuck-ups later on.
And then look at Sokka in the future. Look at Toph making the
still some of my shit never happened. But I always picked like the most unpopular ships in every single show ever.
Sokka Toph?
No.
No?
Aang Toph. It's the dream.
When was that even hinted at as a ship?
They're total bros. They're just bros.
But just the domineering tsundere type? Come on.
Toph wasn't not necessarily a tsundere.
She could be.
She's just more of a, like, no, I'm Toph. If you don't like me, fuck you.
Exactly.
It's not even a...
Tsundere is...
It's not even a you don't like me, fuck you. It's just fuck you. Because even Sokka, like, oh, Sokka likes her. Fuck you.
Yeah. So my two big ships were Toph and Aang, and then Zutara. Zutara should have happened. No, that was broadcasted everywhere, and then Zuko fucked up.
Okay, I was going to say, that is the one that could have been seen as a ship, but in the end, we all knew
they have a
it was going to be Aang Katara, always.
Yeah.
Again, Zuko, you like to use that same argument when we talk about Ichigo and Orihime.
Zuko, it was broadcast through the whole goddamn series.
Zuko and Katara had like some really strong moments, like the little side story that the field trip, if you will.
The Cave of Two Lovers? No, that was Aang. Sorry.
Yeah. No, but the one where Zuko takes Katara to find the man who killed her mother.
Yeah.
Like, that's a really fucking great scene. And then the fight with Azula at the end.
Where she goes batshit insane.
Yeah.
And then just, you know, the Blue Oni thing with all of that. I'm just saying. Again, just pick... I pick, like, super stupid crack ships and everything.
Yeah, like Ichigo like and Rukia. Really,
that one is plausible. Ship. My other...
Okay. They were bros. Renji was always going to end up with Rukia.
Okay.
Always.
Here's my proof that that one is plausible. You want to know one of my favorite crack ships ever?
Huh.
Ino and Naruto.
How?
Exactly.
Fucking how?
Exactly.
Fucking how? Tenten and Naruto is more believable.
Tenten doesn't even have last name, Steve.
Exactly! So she could go with anybody. But she got crushed by a rock.
Lee.
And made metal.
Oh, God.
Presumably.
Oh, my God. She's the weapon character, and they named their kid Metal.
Allegedly. We don't know if she's actually his mom.
Yeah. We just know that Rock Lee is Metal Lee's dad.
It's not one of those, like, is Sarada... Actually,
that was an entire story arc.
Yeah, no, that was a whole arc of her not thinking she was Sakura's daughter.
And yeah, then she found a picture of Kurien.
Well, because, it started with they had a frame with Sakura and Sasuke. Because
there's no actual picture of
them. They were like two separate pictures, and the frame broke, and she opened it and saw Team Taka. She's like, is Kurien my mother? And then goes on an expedition to find Sasuke.
Doesn't she have red eyes like Kurien?
No.
Is this her Shanya, right?
Yeah.
That she uses.
And then she uses. They found like traces of Kurien's DNA, and that's just because she was there when they gave birth and she tore the umbilical cord with her teeth or some bullshit.
Yeah, no, it was they went to find Sasuke, they found Sasuke.
It's been a while.
Went to one of Orochimaru's lairs and then went to like Karin's laboratory. And Water Guy, what's his name?
Suigetsu.
Yeah, Suigetsu was like, yeah, she has this, and it's an umbilical cord, and they do a DNA test on it, and it matches Sarada. It's like, she must be my mother then. Nah. Kurien just delivered Sarada, and then kept the umbilical cord, because fucking crazy people.
And she was a little...
And then...
She's related to Naruto. She's an Uzumaki.
Really?
Well, very, you know, probably like far, probably like distant cousins. Like
clan, never gets brought up.
Clan-wise, like how there were 15,000 Uchihas, and they were all related.
And
but
there
not.
Was one.
Yeah.
That makes you wonder, but not really, like, what the fuck three. Happened to the rest of
oh,
them?
Oh, wait, no, that's why she thought Kurien was her mom, was because Kurien gave Sarada her glasses, because Sarada had bad eyesight, so she gave her a pair that looked just like the one she still wears. She's like, that's my mom because I have her glasses. Nah,
that's
you dumbass.
It's exactly how genetics work.
Yep. She gave me a thing.
Well, I mean, it doesn't help when you have her glasses then think, yeah, maybe she is my mom, and then find your umbilical cord in her desk.
You know, of all the Uchihas, like, if you know, you use the Sharingan too much, you go blind.
The Mangekyo.
Yes. Get glasses. Itachi could have solved so many issues if he just wore glasses.
Well, no, really, though. It's summoning the power from it.
Blind.
It's anytime you use Amaterasu or Susanoo.
Just blood from the eyes.
Yeah, that's when it puts the strain on your eyes and makes the blood come out.
Yeah, wasn't Sasuke like almost going blind at one point?
That was the fight with Itachi.
Yeah, it was Itachi was going blind, so he kept like, I'm going to steal your eyes and blah, blah, blah. And then head forward. Head poking.
Oh. Also, it is canon. Now, Sasuke has never kissed Sakura.
He just, what
the fuck? Well, but they have a child.
Well, yeah, because there is a flashback of little baby Sakura asking Sakura, like, has daddy ever kissed you? She's like, well, no. It's like, but there's something even more important. And everyone's like, oh, sex. And like, no, poke on the forehead. It's like, what the fuck, man?
So Sarada goes up to mom. Mommy, who was your first kiss? Naruto?
Sarada fucking
Sasuke,
virgin birth.
Who was your first kiss? Naruto. Hinata, who was your first kiss? Naruto, probably.
Let the play.
God. Wow, we went off the kiss of death track there.
Pain killed her.
Kiss of death.
You know, thing about it, the Great Ninja War could have all been avoided if Itachi had killed Sasuke.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Because he couldn't bring himself to kill him. And then he learned the story of how the Hokage told him to kill all the Uchiha.
The fucking point of that fight was Itachi was like, don't make the same fucking mistakes I did.
Yeah. It was, but Sasuke was a little punk ass bitch.
I want to become Hokage so I can destroy Konoha.
Well, no. Right. No, like, before that, it's I must kill the Hokage because fuck him. He told my brother to kill everybody. And then after that, it's like, all right, I guess I got to.
But then wasn't it like Daizo or.
Donzo.
Donzo that he wanted. The coolest fucking summon. He has a goddamn elephant.
He wanted to kill Donzo, then he killed Donzo, and then that started the whole Sasuke is an evil person, and then Kabuto was like, fuck it, war. And then everything went downhill from there.
But the war would have happened regardless, just because Madara was still alive.
Because Orochimaru wouldn't have trained Sasuke, he would have transferred to a different body, wouldn't have allowed Kabuto, he would have kept transferring bodies, wouldn't have allowed Kabuto the chance to absorb Orochimaru, which gave him the ability to start the war.
But Madara is still a key factor.
Manga.
And so is Obito.
Right, but they wouldn't even had a chance to get the other tailed beasts to... Because, think about it, they couldn't capture B. Sasuke was the only reason they got Killer B.
Okay, and so then... maybe it's in the vein of, like, they wouldn't have started nearly as close as they did. It would have just taken longer.
Is this like one of those World War One scenarios?
I don't think they would.
What if he didn't stop
for that sandwich?
I don't think they would have even gotten close to it because think about it. All of the Akatsuki were dying one after another after another. The only reason they were able to bring the Ten Tails and everything out was because they had the war. They were able to bring Naruto out. They would have just been them trying to get him and then failing.
Let's go hiking at five.
Let's call it. Yeah, we want a fucking tangent.
We'll talk about this later.
Yeah, we'll discuss the ramifications of Itachi being a punk ass bitch, not killing his punk ass bitch.
Do you have the Naruto podcast? Like the Naruto Siege Power Rangers podcast?
You can plan
the Power Siege Naruto.
You guys can plan this for later.
All right. Well,
thank
you guys.
The Power Siege Boruto's father.
It's your brand new episode of the Z2 podcast, where three friends come together and talk about random things. As always, jack shit has never happened. Or jack shit has happened, so we go off on tangents. But. You can help us be more organized by leaving us a review either on our Google Play, iTunes, or
z2podcast.com/comment.
And we're also very active on the Facebook and the Twitter. You guys can hit us up there, and we will read what you write.
Listen to us on Spotify or podcast services around the globe.
Yes. And as always, you can leave us a review, make us happy boys, or you can...
Listen to Himtusky.
Himtusky. And you can go tell one friend to listen to us, and they will tell one friend, and we'll start a pyramid scheme slowly but surely. And
that's how all things work now.
We bid you all adieu. Good night.
Good night.
Love you, Internet.